This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I'm from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I'm from Dayton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, break, tell it, breathe me. Way I do in the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I'm from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I'm from Dayton, bro.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke.
Dayton, bro. Boy, I'm from Dayton, bro.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, or Daddy, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232-325-4316 and 325-4259. And you can text us at 422-GR96. And again, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you who listen to Guardian Radio, and for also those who tune into Inside the Inner City. For those who I meet, it's a pleasure to meet you. I appreciate all of your compliments. And I respect y'all highly for y'all giving me inspiration to keep on doing what I'm doing. So today's show, we are going to continue from the topic of last week of how we progress as a nation. We talk about some outstanding MPs, former MPs, some have passed away who contribute greatly to helping develop their community, whether it's building houses or helping in some type of business aspect of transforming the community. We give an example of what they were doing for that particular community and what we are expecting from the future generation of MPs and candidates who are now being rectified to be trying to see if they could either repeat as the two-time government, which we have not seen in the last 20 years, and one is vying again to be the government again. And then we have the Coalition of Independents who's looking to get some seat, and probably if things go as planned with all the hype, maybe we would see the next new government. I don't know, next party government. I don't know. We have a lot of independent candidates. We have the former Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, Dr. Hubert Alexander Minnis, running as an independent. We have Reginald Wells, former MP. We have some former MP FNM candidates who were in the last general election have decided to put themselves out as independent candidates. And let me remind the general public that independent candidates can make a real difference in their community because, like I said, they themselves can be the prime minister for their specific community. If they know exactly what the community needs, they can make their budget debate to the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas requesting certain things that is needed in their community. It could be anywhere from roadworks, drainage, home repair, abandoned houses, looking to help empower some small creative ideas in the community. And you present those to Parliament when it's your time to speak on behalf of your community, if they are serious and if they're not into themselves and using their position as to gain traction to get closer to the prime minister. But if they know what the power they have in their hands as being an elected independent candidate, you can do major things. It ain't about the money. The money will come, because when you present your budget by doing your analysis and your survey on your particular community, you check the community, you see what the community needs. Again, the parks need to fix, bathrooms need to be put in resident houses that you have done your survey with your team, and you can check all the houses in the community that needs to be repaired, and you need school buses for kids so that they will not be roaming around the streets at a specific hour, you know, for that particular area. You know, you have like four buses or two buses for that community to pick up the school kids on time and make sure that they are not walking alone at night, because we saw what happened about a year, where we had a young girl in Carmichael Road who was brutally sexually assaulted, murdered, and, you know, just horrible. So we want to prevent those kind of things. So we need creative ideas. And this is what you can do for your community as an independent member of parliament or a candidate or a member of parliament, if you are dedicated to helping improve the living conditions of your community. So today's topic, we're going to talk a little bit about that. We want to talk about what's going around the country. I'm going to have also Mark Tynquist, who is one of the business masterminds in the country, who we have been partnership with for a few years. He has been doing this for over 25, 30 years. Many people have been to Mark Tynquist for business plan, to set up their business plans, and et cetera. So he's chipping in the second half of the show just to give a word on this program coming up, I think, by the Cancer Society, to help empower, to train, and to get people their business license to start their small businesses or big businesses. But he wants to get you up to speed, what you need to do, how to do it, and et cetera, and et cetera. So he'd have his, he would be coming on, like I said, around about 7:30. But before we get into our topic, I just want to go to something real quick concerning Royal Bahamas Police Force and what the new Commissioner of Police, Miss Shantia Knowles, is going through. You know, we have had numerous senior officers put before the tribunal, put before the courts. We have few officers who are being incarcerated in the United States of America on very serious charges of drug trafficking, firearm trafficking. For many years, senior police officers, we have had senior police officers in charge of the criminal investigation department who has been accused of bribery, working with alleged criminals who are now deceased, bribes to see how they can win their case, even though they could have been guilty. And the law is supposed to protect the country's citizens from these type of events, instead of the senior officer working within the jurisdiction and within the law. He, on the other hand, is alleged, was actually working with the criminals to get away with criminal offenses. And that's like treason. So we had many incidents. And so Ms. Knowles has replaced former Commissioner of Police, Clayton Fernando, who served diligently over the force for over 35 to 40 years. And he himself resigned based on allegations of corruption within the ranks of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And pressure was put on him because he's the commanding chief, and he's supposed to know exactly what's going on in each department of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. So he has to take full responsibility. Now, many of us feel like it's a slap in the face. We feel like it's a slap in the face that, you know, these things went on with him sitting as a commissioner. Well, you know, it's an internal investigation still going on. But anyway, so now we have Ms. Knowles coming in. You know, she knows the rope. Some of these allegations, corruptions that have been going on in the force for many, many years, she has been a part of it too. I'm not saying she's been criminally a part of it. I mean that as an officer, you have seen things in the station that you yourself probably stop a few, But some things you can't stop because this is the fraternity, and that's how it goes. Sometimes you keep things secret. So over many years, you know, because I've been incarcerated for many years, a guy who was against the law, you know, broke the law. At least I thought I was broken the law because the things that I was doing compared to what some of the people in high places and holding the position as police officers and defense force officers, it's crazy to compare to what we were doing on the streets. It's crazy, you know. I mean, we supposed to retire and try become a police officer who have that mindset instead of being guys on the streets who only doing things for a couple of dollars, vice certain officers who doing things for millions and bringing in guns and drugs and stuff like that. So we on the streets who think we're a bot, we ain't even bot. So let me just say this to the guys out there who out there shooting and robbing for little 5,000. Y'all need to retire. Follow suit. What you see, the big boys, okay? These, this the big boys, you know, and the guys that bringing in tons, you know. Why is you guys, you know, 5 pound, 1 pound, killing for $500, $1,500, $5,000. Why is we have people who are part of law enforcement who don't represent the majority of the decent officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force? There are many decent officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, but they're not before the courts. They are not being exposed. So this is the truth we are speaking. These particular Defense Force officers, police officers, our former senior officers, of all being caught during illegal activities. And you know, we're saying they're protected because now we're seeing the voice note is not adding up to, you know, the chief superintendent, former chief superintendent of the Criminal Investigation Department. So either way, you know, people are saying, you know, like, you know, people are saying that, you know, they was expecting that, you know. Like I said, it was going to be a major lawsuit if this particular officer was exposed to these particular allegations. If these were proven in court, it's so serious that many of the guys who were locked up, charged before the Criminal Investigation Department under his leadership, those guys could file all type of technicality, and could say anything, and they could be released from prison. They could sue because basically, if this officer was the senior officer, basically, and if he is caught in any one of these particular bribery that, you know, is alleged, then that means you don't know what could happen in the 100 cases, 200 cases, 300 cases. It could have been 100 cases with murder, couple hundred with armed robbery in there. And, you know, guys say, you know what, they've been framed, they've been beaten. And then, you know, our judiciary system is mess rate up. It was a very serious thing. You know, it was nothing likely that we should ever just say it's a slap in the face. Some people, the government, the judiciary system, they would sit down behind the table and they say, guess what? We can't, even though this is true, I'm not saying this how they're thinking, but we've seen the movies, we're seeing it in other countries where they'd say, you know, boy, this ain't looking good. If this goes through, it could be a serious lawsuit against the government, and this could send the judiciary system back to the Stone Age. You know, so it's a very serious matter. But anyway, so Miss Knowles comes in. She knows what is going on. She's receiving information, that's commissioner now. And she has to make a decision where she has to break protocol now, where certain officers were protected on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I can say that because when you read between the lines, when certain officers went to answer their case for murder by manslaughter, and they were summoned, they were trying with all their might not to appear before the coroner's court. They're not trying to appear before no court, you know. They were trying to actually, you know, bypass all of that. But it was taken under consideration from the coroner's court and the attorney general's office and said there's enough evidence to put it before the courts. And they got their case submitted to court to face charges for murder by manslaughter. So this was going on in the force for many years, you know. And now it is being broken because with the exposure of senior officers on the force who were protected, now she has to make a decision. You know, she has to make a decision how to break protocol, and it's very, it's very, it's very dangerous because it breaks the moral. This can make other officers go against her. You know, these things would happen because you have corrupt officers, you have good officers, and if officers on the force corrupt, now she is going at them to put them before the courts. She has to be very careful, you know, because you don't know what is going on. Because, like I said, it's politically motivated. Many of the senior officers on the Royal Bombers Police Force don't really deserve the promotion that they receive, because other senior officers have been there who have trained officers way before them. And these officers come up in the ranks because they're either a part of the political party, the Free National Movement, the PLP. And this was stated, if you listen to the opposition leader, Michael Pintard, he also stated that if the Free National Movement was elected, that they would no longer politicize the police force. So that means a lot of officers in the force got promoted over other officers who were actually qualified to do the job. And they might be the best officers to do the job. But because you involved in the political party, you get promotion over me who have been over 20, 25 years, and I use inspector or ASP, and I've been there that much, and I'm still a corporal because I'm not a part of the party, because I'm a good officer, I know what I'm doing, you don't like me, and because you're a party. So anyway, this is what goes on. I can tell you this because I talked to a lot of senior officers over the years, and off the record, that's why I don't call any of their names, and they talk about these things. And they said that the force could be a very, very genuine force with integrity, honesty, if we were to do it the right way. But for right now, it's not the right way, you know? So anyway, she comes in now, and like I said, she's breaking protocol now, and she's trying her best to stabilize the force of the allegation of senior officers in the force. Now she is going now to see how she can terminate inspectors. That's a very hard thing to do. And that's happening in our country. Now, when we look at the news, we are seeing, you know, there are two officers who allowed themselves to record a female tourist visiting the Bahamas, and she was asking to use the bathroom. And she could have been very rude to the officers, which I totally understand. But as officers, you have to be able to take insult because you have them in custody. That means that they are no threat to you. You understand? And they are under your protection. So your job is to make sure that they use the bathroom in a timely fashion, to make sure that they get everyone called, and to make sure check up on them so that they don't commit suicide. Because a lot of people who get locked up have never been in a station before. So their reaction is completely different. I know these things. I've seen this. I've seen people come in the station, and when they go behind the bars, they're claustrophobic. They can't take it. I've seen it. You understand? They have never been locked up. So they act differently. They don't know how to act in the stations. And some police get very aggressive because they don't have time, but they are not trained properly, and they sometimes be over-aggressive. Then you have some trained officers who act professionally in the station, which I can say there are many, and like I said again. But anyway, to continue. So now she comes in, and we are seeing the repeated disrespect for even the commissioner of police. Because, see, what happens is that when you continue a culture, right, in an organization, it passes on to the next generation of officers. And they hear about the stories. And they themselves, you know, say to themselves, you know what? Okay, yeah, we have immunity. Okay, yeah, we could get away with anything. It's there. There is reported that a lady, you know, at a nightclub, you know, alleged, and he has been released from the force. You know, he charged her twice, and then he brutally assaulted her in uniform. And he, you know, so abuse of power, assault, and he was immediately released from the force. And we have two more officers who, like again, I was talking earlier, who took footage of the guest who was inside Central Police Station, and she was asking to use the bathroom. Now, like I said, she could have been very disrespectful. You know, in the station, there's a lot of insult heard by the police, and the police has sometimes takes a lot. I just want you to let you know there's some people with bad attitude comes in the station, you know, very bad attitude, you know, because sometimes you're dealing with very, very violent people who have been through a hard, hard life, and all their life they've been in the prison, and they're used to it. So they'd be cursing the police, and the police be cursing them out. So anyway, even guests come to the Bahamas, they be disrespectful. But like I say, this is what goes on, you know. So anyway, I'm guessing that she asked to use the bathroom, the officers, them. She might have said some insult, because I heard one or two insults she said at them. And then the officer said something back to her, and one officer's recording. And then she said she wanted to use the bathroom once or twice. I don't know if she just said she wanted to use the bathroom right then and there, or she'd been asked and used the bathroom for a certain amount of minutes or seconds. I don't know. But anyway, she decided to say, "What? You know what I'm going to do?" And she feces on the floor of the police station, which was recorded. And again, the officers, again, broken protocol, was not allowed to take pictures, especially of persons in custody, and especially a female who seems to me that she was just wearing a shirt and did not know underwear on. You understand? That's totally unacceptable. So it seems to me that even though Ms. Knowles is putting disciplinary matters in place, it seems to me that there's still a lot of rogue cops on the Royal Bahamas Police Force who's not even listening to her. Because what we are seeing is not one officer, not two officers, you know, numerous officers. You know, Senior Marine officer, lieutenant, has been served with a notice of intended prosecution in connection with allegation that a Marine was beaten by a superior officer and later abandoned in Inagua. So we have it on the Defense Force, we have it on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, you know, and this is just an allegation, but there are more than one allegation. So it seems to me that we as a country are a violent nation, okay? I just want to start off the show like that. We are a violent nation. Ms. Knowles got her hands full. She have to keep up the good faith. Understand that it's a very tough task now. Because I want people to understand that, you know, we here on the outside world living in. But the Royal Bahamas Police Force is fraternity, and they've been there for a very long time. And they have a code. Now to actually start to break that code is a very hard thing to do. So you gotta give her credit. You understand? It's very, and it also, like I tell you, it takes nerve of steel. Probably she is the one, she is doing something like what Green Slate started to do. Now she is the one now is doing it as well. Like I say, she's put in this position because of the allegations of senior police officers who were accused of serious corruption and treason in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So we're going to see how it continues, but it seems to me that she has to really have a conversation with our officers, and she needs to bring training in place on how they conduct themselves when they are dealing with the public. You understand? To de-escalate situation. Okay? And again, I just before I go to my next topic, I want to talk about the recent murders that happened. Hold on. The recent murders that happened at Ahwaukee. There were two murders that happened at Ahwaukee. I know two of the young gentlemen who lost their lives. And basically, one is my outside cousin. Two of them was my outside cousins who I know their father. Their father passed away. Shuby and Don was one of their fathers who got killed a few months ago. And this recent murder that happened was Nadia's son, and her whole entire family lives through Hay Street, which is a wonderful family, nice people. All the family members are real good people, good family. And I just want you to bear in mind that we just had a murder by a club that is situated in our community, but it's on Blue Hill Road facing Seattle Walker. There have been a few shooting incidents there based on the culture of persons go there. Some people don't go there to have fun. So you go in an environment where there are police officers. So I was watching the flick the other day, and you saw where persons were getting stabbed inside the establishment. And then outside, you could see where this police officer was talking to two guys. who seems to be very agitated. And the police officer trying to tell him calm down. And then he, you know, ended up pushing the police, and the police had a service revolver. And then he pushed the police on, and then the police, you know, like fired the gun. And then he was shot, probably grazing his head, and he dropped on the ground. And then we get the final that the same gentleman is probably the one who stabbed three individuals in the club, and eventually one died. So I just like to say this to the general public. If you look at all these incidents where people have lost their lives, you would see they're basically the same. Basically the same. Just different people. But it always starts with an altercation. Always start with a little row. Okay? So I just want to say this to the general public. Use these acts of violence as a learning lesson, okay? And to say, don't say it can't happen to you. You know, it can happen to you. Because when you get mad, you can make mistakes. And right now, there's a lot of mad people out there. Everyone has a gun. Everyone gets mad. But everyone ain't bad. Everyone wants to be bad. Sometimes you guys are not bad guys. You want to be bad, and then you'll box someone who's badder than you guys, you know? And I'm going to show you what I'm talking about in a little bit. What's our first clip? Okay. I'm going to come back with this topic about the police later part of the show, because I want to get to my friend Mark Tranquist real quick. I want to talk about the noise real quick, then I'm going to talk about the business part. So Mark, give me a few more minutes and I'll let you come in. Okay, let's play this with Dwayne Sands.
Minister of Health Dr. Dwayne Sands is condemning the reported suspension of a nurse at Princess Margaret Hospital after she spoke out about the state of the public health care system in a video that has gone viral on social media. In the video, Nurse Pearl Williams issued a passionate public appeal to Prime Minister Philip Davis, calling for urgent action to address what she described as serious challenges at PMH.
Mr. Prime Minister, out of the goodness of your heart, please listen to the many concerns we have at the Princess Margaret Hospital. The roofs are leaking, Mr. Prime Minister. Lack of supplies. Lack of human resources. Not to mention the rodent problem that we have. When will the accident and emergency department be open, Mr. Prime Minister, so that we can treat our patients with dignity.
Dr. Sands, who has worked closely with Williams in the past, says she was simply speaking the truth about conditions many healthcare workers have been facing for years.
Self-described as a concerned nurse at PMH, she begged PM Davis to intervene, and I quote, out of the goodness of his heart. What did she get for her effort? She was suspended. Let that sink in now. This is a nurse who spoke in general terms about issues already covered in the press, in the public domain. Every single thing she said was true. And yet, she was victimized. She was suspended. Now, this is senior, competent, capable, caring, excellent Bahamian ICU nurse who I've worked with for years.
Sands praised Williams as a highly skilled critical care expert and said her place is at the hospital serving patients, not on suspension.
PMH, matter of fact, the Bahamas, has a serious shortage of critical care nurses. Beds are closed in the ICU because we don't have enough qualified nurses. We import critical care nurses from places as far as Jibim because Bahamian nurses are leaving in droves. Many don't feel respected. So after one of your best, one of your committed, one of your talented Bahamian nurses speaks the truth.
Dr. Sands says he stands with Williams. The Nassau Guardian has contacted the Public Hospitals Authority for comment, but has not yet received a response.
To the nurse, you know, I highly respect what she is saying, and what she's saying is true. The hospital is in dire need of repairs, but most importantly, we need other hospitals. Yes, there's talks about a new hospital built on Popwell Track, but I don't see how that's going to make a significant difference. It's a step in the right direction. I'm not going to criticize it, but I'm saying that we need a children's hospital as well. You understand? Have we progressed? No, I think not. If things are good with the economy, yes. Right? Yes. So we need a children's hospital. We need an old people hospital. And we need a hospital for the babies, you know. So we could at least built for hospitals or clinics or whatever the situation to deal with these type of ailments. And then we have these nurses who are leaving the Bahamas, and we come here and give them a good pay. Now we have like four hospitals, especially a children's hospital is very important. You know, we need to separate the hospital. You know, we need a children's hospital. Then we need an old people hospital. You know, we just deal with old elderly. Just elderly, so that we have doctors who are trained. The elderly know exactly what the elderly needs, so we know all the supplies we need for the elderly in that department, in that hospital. We know all the equipment and medicine that we need for the kids. We know we need it for that department. We have it for that hospital. Then we have the next one for the pregnancy. We can use the Princess Margaret Hospital for pregnancy and other different departments and et cetera and et cetera and et cetera. So, yes, you know, and I'd just like to say this. I highly support her. I also like to give the comment of the response. That's the opposition. And I'd like to say this to Dwayne Sands. Mr. Sands, with all due respect, sir, I ain't even into you and your talks. Okay, because you said you work with a woman many years. You, then, was the doctor in charge. What did you do to improve the condition at the Princess Margaret Hospital? So, even though you made a good statement, but sir, you just as bad. You understand? Because when you were there, you did nothing to improve the condition of the Princess Margaret Hospital. No one you know these conditions. That's why you say, she ain't lie. She ain't say nothing wrong. If the government decides to penalize this nurse, I don't think it's the right thing to do because she speak her mind for the hundreds and thousands of people who are there in the hospital. And probably this is the only way she could express herself because she keep it in so long that she had to express herself. You know, so Mr. Sands, yes, I fully support you supporting her. But you, sir, honestly speaking, you can't say nothing out your mouth because you just as bad. You understand? Because you were a doctor and you were a doctor in charge of the hospital. And what did you do to improve the condition of the hospital? Did you recommend that we need new hospitals? So that's why I said we did not progress. A lot of these people just take these positions, but they don't come with creative ideas. Look at me, I'm a young man. And listen to how much ideas I come with over and over in the show. Look at me, what I'm talking about. Listen, I'm talking about a kids' hospital. I'm talking about an elderly hospital. Take the pressure off Princess Margaret Hospital. So that these nurses and doctors who we have, who are talented and they're leaving the Bahamas because they're underpaid. Now we have a spot to put these doctors and nurses in the maternity ward now. Wouldn't be overcrowded because now there's whole sections for maternity ward. We know just how to deal with the pregnancy. You know, we have these nurses who train in that. Not these nurses have to be rewarded to go someplace else to deal with some type of person who get cancer or something because they have. And then the nurse has some type of training in that, but she's not really qualified for that. So we are overworking our nurses and doctors in the country. So we have to be creative. That's why I said today, we have not progressed. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Mr. Tangwest, I come to you in a minute. That's Mr. Tangwest. Tell him just hold on, Mr. Angle, just hold on for a couple of more seconds until I explain the thing with the boss about the small business. Then you could come on. Just one more, but 3 more minutes, Mr. Tynecrest. Then we have a veteran, the response of the government. And that's what I like. The veteran nurse at the Princess Margaret Hospital has been suspended 2 weeks after releasing a video on social media. Okay? Michael Darwell said that, you know, she is not wrong. Right? He said that, you know, he would do things in his power to see how he can reconcile with the nurse. But she spoke, though. So even the government of the country, especially and the minister responsible, you know, over the video, Mr. Darwell is his partner as well. So even Mr. Darwell, who is the minister responsible for the hospital, he is speaking highly about the nurse as well because he himself knows this nurse. So this nurse has to be a very, very good poison. Okay? So yes, we have to be creative. We have to be progressive. Okay? We can play the next clip and then let me see. What's the next one now? That's the boss? Okay. And then we want to knock on this little small business thing. But we have, let me play the thing with the boss and then we could go to the callers. Okay? This is progress.
Good. When they stop to the door here for something, I have it. They don't have to go next. Or when they go, they don't come back. Thank you. Oh, my. Thank you so much. Thank you.
We're going higher.
I think that's the beginning.
All right, so we are here with Marion Evans, 89 years old. This store has been here from 1984. She took it over from her mother, and she's always been an entrepreneur, always been self-employed. And while we were campaigning, we came in here to get some refreshments for the campaign staff, and I just could never notice that, you know, her shelves were just bare. And so we got a full stock of snacks and things to put on her shelves and make sure that she could compete with the competition. She has some competition right next door. But, you know, this is our own Fort Charlotte initiative where we're empowering the residents of Fort Charlotte to own their community. We wish you nothing but the best, Mrs. Evans. And keep up the great work and keep being an example in the community for the younger generation to follow.
Okay, Carlos, give me a few more minutes. That's a prime example. I'm not pulling for the boss. I'm not pulling for Mr. Robertson, who is also being a candidate for the community. He's the youngest candidate and representative, former Honorable Travis Robertson, being a grandstand MP under the Free National Movement a few years ago. Now he is vying to be the candidate. He is the candidate and looking to be the next member of parliament for Fort Charlotte. Alfred Sayre stepped down. Sabas has decided to take the step into politics. He feels that that's the thing for him to do. Anyone who's looking to expand their career, you know, you never know where this life is going to take you. So he's on a journey. You know, we all on a journey, so you never know where the ship is going to take you. You know, you got to take advantage of the opportunity. So opportunity presented to himself, just like how opportunity has been presented to Travis Robertson. Both of them took it. Now, we are seeing that Mr. Sabas has been a very successful businessman. He had a legal business, then he became legal. He became a successful businessman, so he has learned a lot, as well as Travis Robertson. He has been successful. First, he was just a college student. Now he became a pilot and a member of parliament. And he is vying again to be a next member of parliament for Charlotte. So he also wants to do some great things for the constituency. We see Mr. Sabas paving the road in Fort Charlotte. We are seeing Travis Robertson also giving building supplies to some residents in the community. We are seeing Sabas himself is going around helping people with their small business, also helping clean up the community as well. And since Travis Robertson is doing it himself. So this is going to be very, very interesting for Fort Charlotte. For me, I think Sabas is on the right direction because he is business-oriented. He has some funds that he could spend in the community. He knows what the community needs. He is social. He's been doing it a long time. Also, Mr. Robertson, you know, he's been there. He's done it. It's going to be a little tough for him because he's dealing with somebody who a lot of people respect and love. And he has helped a lot, and he's going to continue to help. He's going to put a losses in Fort Charlotte. So I don't know if it's going to be the PLP, the FN, or the Coalition of Independence. It's going to be a very, very interesting one. But I know Fort Charlotte is in for a great, great journey and a great transformation because we have three leaders, one from the coalition, like I said, we don't want to leave them out. One from the Free National Movement, former member of parliament, Honorable Travis Robertson, but he has his hands full with the boss because the boss is just a creative and he has his team. So, boy, it's Fort Charlotte is looking good. So, but business mind, I feel that if you want to see this country go forward, we have to start small businesses in the country to complement the growing stress in the country so that we can be able to make some things happen in our community, to make ourselves self-sustainable. It's not going to take away none from no MP who comes and help the community and builds up the community and help empower people. It's going to be a plus for the party and it's going to be a plus for the MP, but it's going to be stiff competition. So that means you're going to have to keep your guard up. That means you're going to have to keep on working hard in the community, helping people so that people could support you. So if you be a good member of parliament, you could be in parliament for 10, 15 years if you continue to do a good job in the community by helping people and people will support you. The only way you're going to fail as a leader in these inner city communities or any community if you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You see Glennis Anna Martin, her party has lost, and Priceville Forbes, but they're able to hold their seat because they were doing some great stuff in their community. And because of them, they were able to stay in frontline politics and keep the party alive along with the Honorable Prime Minister Brave Davis and Chester Coop. Remember, there were those four seats, and those four seats was able to keep them alive. So they were able to use that to have a representation in the House of Parliament, and they were able to become the next government of the country. But it's all about small business. So I have Mr. Tankus on the line, and I want to obviously, he has an event coming up shortly about small business, and I want those who are listening to please get yourself involved in some type of business, because this is the only way going to help change your life, because you can't just be working and you have no income coming in. You're just spending, you're spending, you have no income coming in. You know, so have a business plan, you know. Be constructive, you know, and that other teams could come out of it. So we're going to have Mark Tankus. Come on. Go ahead, Mr. Tankus. Sorry for taking so long.
No, man, no problem, man. You always talking, but you used to talk some great stuff, man. So you cover all markets,
yes,
everybody.
Sir.
You know, you always do a good job. But, and, you know, but Scoogey,
yes, sir.
You know, I'm always having these entrepreneurship workshops.
Yes, sir, yes,
but
sir.
But this one in the next week, Saturday, November the 15th.
November the 15th.
Right, at Cancer Society.
Cancer Society.
Right. I'm having a what I call a small business act symposium with geared towards structuring the whole small business community from Abaco in the north to Inagua in the south. This symposium is for the participants to fill out a research form and for me to explain to everybody how the country needs to be structured in reference to small business development in the future. Because the challenge is, I've been at this from 26 years.
Yes, sir.
And every time a structure or some type of strategy is created, every 5 years, the government changes. And what happens is that when the government changes, strategies and policies changes.
So we make no progress.
No progress. I've been working with the government, FNM PLD government, and unfortunately, because there's not a legislation.
Continuous.
Of a structure.
To continue it.
That, exactly. That's why.
Without interference. Without interference from the incoming government. So if the government lowers, we continue. They can make amendments, but they have to continue.
Only based on economic conditions.
Yes.
Right. So next week, Saturday, we are bringing on a conclusion.
Yes, sir.
To the report I'll be presenting, the structure of it, and everybody who attend will be speaking and actually dialogue and fill us a survey. And this will be presented to the government and the general public, how the structure should be done.
Mm.
I have a structure, but I want everybody to come in, sit down. It's going to be two sections, 9:30 to 12, and from another session, which is the same agenda, from 12:30 to 3. So there's no excuse. You come in the morning or you come in the afternoon.
Yes, sir.
But what this was do, I spoke to Gunt, and they are basically favorable in reference to the Small Business Act, because the Perry Christie administration was trying to get it done, and I was on part of the consultation team.
I was right there.
And the PLP got kicked out.
Yes, I was right there.
And the baby gone with the bad water.
Yes.
And also the National Development Plan.
Yes.
Throwing the garbage.
Yes. Urban
right.
Urban Design Lab.
So
yes.
So next week, Saturday, we're going to close on this legislation. The PLP government knows about it, so they know that. I spoke to the Prime Minister formally and informally about it. He knows about it. I spoke to Simon Wilson. I spoke to the Michael Akitas and
Prime Minister
Kimber Conway.
Yes,
I spoke to everybody. So there's going to be a good participation. So I want everybody in the Grantstown community and all of the Over the Hill community, your people, to come out, fill a survey, have dialogue, talk about it, because what happened is, if a legislation is not completed, I've been doing a survey for 2 years.
Yes,
in 2024, it's scheduled to end May 1st,
2026.
Yes. Presented to the government. I don't know if the election is going to be before or after, whoever in power, they're going to receive the information.
Yes, sir.
So, and it's going to be legislated. So my whole life is going to be directed to legislation now. You know, I march in 2000 to open the country up.
Yes.
So I don't think I have to march for Small Business Act.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
so the present government is receptive. So I want everybody over there. You just can't talk it. You can't sing it. You got to bring it.
Yes, sir.
So So next week, Saturday, November the 12th.
Chance
of
Society.
November the 15th. I want everybody to come to. It's free. There's no payment. Just come walk in and we do dialogue. And you can just leave. And then we have free refreshments. We have coffee, tea, sandwiches. We have wings and everything. It's going to be a great. We have like small business owners speaking and everything. And I'll be speaking and letting everybody know about the legislation. Because it's legislation. If it's not legislated, it's not carved in stone.
Yes.
Because when the government, the people coming, they think about yellow. Yes. When the African coming, they think about red.
Yes.
So you have to legislate it. And once it's legislated, Scrooge, I know you could be there, right?
Yes, sir.
Because I know you have a full team. There's no cost at all. It's free, just walk in.
Yes, sir.
We discuss it and we put our forms out.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to help me market it for next week for the Overhill people. I already invited everybody, all the newscast people are going to be, the politicians are going to be there, everybody's going to be there for one big discussion. There's going to be no PLP or FNM. It's going to be one small business community. Mm. That's very important.
Yes.
By bipartisan Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
And thank you for the opportunity, and you've done a good job in the community. And don't forget, you and I got a close on that.
Yes, the small business. The small the business part, program, yes.
The first part of January, we got to close and bring everybody and close that project because you're doing a great job. And our community said, you have to, we're going to have that. We're going to close the whole world today.
Yes.
Because the small business is still around, and you've been doing it a long time. And boy, let me tell you, you are an unsung hero. But like, you don't never get no accolades.
Yes, sir.
Because you're pure and natural.
Yes, sir.
You don't get no, what I call, loyalty to the people who got to, you know, you got to sing for your food and all kind of stuff. You do it for the people. These people, person, and you come from far.
Yes, sir. Appreciate
and
it.
So you are a role model, and I thank you. And you know, I don't work with people who are not a role model.
Yes, sir.
And I watch over the years, and you're a great job. And I want everybody to appreciate you because you... Real, you natural.
Yes,
sir. And you slam everybody. If they ain't doing a good job,
yes,
you
sir.
Know, I smile at you. I listen to you every Friday, you know.
Yes,
and I don't call it that much, but I listen, you know, because I don't want to overshadow things. But I want everybody, write us down. November the 15th, next week, Saturday, all roads lead to the Cancer Society at the top of the hill for the Small Business Act Symposium. We legislate in the small business structure.
And this to help you guys. This to help all small business owners, those who want to start small businesses.
And it can't be done
without you guys.
The survey and everything without you guys.
Yes.
This is my own. This is the country.
Yes.
There are people from all over the country coming in online and all that stuff, eh?
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. So thank you so much, Scrooge.
I'll see
you and your team November 15th, next week, Saturday, at the Cancer Society. We're on top of the Hill, Centerville.
Yes, sir.
Deadness.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Tang.
My thank you, Scrooge. You're doing a great job. Keep buying this there. You are a role model, man. I'm proud of you. And I talk to you. And I like, you know, you know how it is.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? That song, you know, that's a serious song, buddy.
Yes, sir. Maestro. Maestro sing that.
Maestro,
Maestro,
man.
Yes.
And that, hey, man, hey, they no song better than that.
Yes,
that's
sir.
A pure inspirational
yes.
song.
Yes, Maestro written being done. Yeah, I wrote that.
Yeah,
yes.
And, you know, that, you pick it correct, huh? Yes. And you're a role model.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, man. You know, and I want everybody to appreciate you.
Thank you, Mr.
Tang.
Yes.
I close on your area, early part of January, so
yes,
but no, January closing. After the Easter holiday, after Christmas holiday,
yes,
I come in the back. I want to come earlier, but you know the symposium is too tight.
Yes, I understand. It's no problem.
So I'm letting Wade Watson, Honorable Wade Watson, know now.
Yes,
you got to close on Bangtown, buddy.
Yes,
you got to close on the Bangtown, eh?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you so much, buddy.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Tankwest. Mr. Tankwest has been doing small business. He's helped so many people establish their small business. So listen again, next week, Saturday, Cancer Society, if you want to get some information in your small business, get your small business set up, and probably even get a small business license, Mr. Tankwest can help you with that. So please feel free to go and visit. It's free. There'll be food and drinks. He talked about the wings and probably macaroni and, you know, he has chips and drinks and stuff like that. It's all there for you guys. So please make an effort to really go and get some information. You might take it to the next level. We're going to take this call. Sorry, caller, for taking so long. And then we're going to our topic again. Sorry for taking so long.
Yeah, I understand. I'm enjoying the show. I was enjoying the discussion you had.
Yes, sir.
But I want to go back to the nurse situation.
Go ahead, sir.
Can you figure out who has lost in the situation with that nurse?
The nurse.
Who do you think lost now?
The nurse.
The people have lost.
Yeah, that's what I mean, because she represented the people. Yes, sir.
Not represent the people, because 44 years of experience.
Yes, sir.
She's almost a doctor.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
you
sir.
Know the situations she can see with just her eyes.
Yes, sir.
And tell people until the doctor, because you know the doctor always late or something.
Yes, yes, sir.
But she can look at situations and tell you what to do until that person has a doctor or surgeon to come.
Yes,
so
sir.
Why get rid of somebody like that and you know you have a shortage of nurses? Mm. Well, she's supposed to be doing whatever she feel like and come whenever she feel like after 44 years.
Yes, sir.
If she still wants to serve her country,
yes,
you
sir.
Let her serve her country.
Yes, sir.
44 years of experience, she's almost a doctor.
Yes.
And these people up here going to get, suspend her? See, that's another strike Brave got against him when it comes to me. The first one was the $883 million he allocated to pay from West End, from 8 Mile Rock to West End.
Yes, sir.
How can you overlook that or that was missed? I can't remember what he said.
Mm.
But he didn't recognize it or whatever he said. But it's $183 million he didn't pay attention to.
Mm.
And that's the people's money.
Yes, sir.
Now, here we go. He's making another major. Whoever made that decision to, say, suspend that nurse, they got to be off their rockers.
Yes, because she's only speaking her mind.
You're right. That's just a free country.
Yes, yes.
But somebody like that, I say again, she's
yes,
almost
sir.
A doctor.
Yes, sir.
She could look at situations when people come in the hospital.
Yes.
And tell you what to do, where to carry them, what
she
to give them, until
them.
The doctor
she could tell them. Yeah, she could diagnose them just by her
right,
eyes.
Right, just by looking.
Yeah, because the experience with the 44 years and being around doctors,
that's
she's
right,
just like
that
a doctor.
Kind of experience.
Yes,
she
yes.
can look at a patient
yes.
when they come rushing
yes,
in there
yes.
or know what to do with a gunshot wound, a knife wound, a car accident.
Yes, sir. You're correct.
You don't get rid of them kind of people, man.
No, not because
I don't care what they do. If they decide to come to work and don't work that day, you just leave them alone.
You know, and so
they're going through something.
And the sad part about it is that you see that she jeopardized being suspended and probably losing a job because you know what I mean? She's up there. She's frustrated with the condition. She's seeing people.
Because she's a strike if they
right.
lose a job. March downtown.
Yes. Yes.
But she didn't do anything wrong.
No. Yes. See the frustration and see people who need
right.
help, and yes, the hospital is not in the proper working condition.
She don't care who don't like it.
Yes, and honestly speaking, right, to tell you the truth, right, the hospital has outdone its welcome. It's too small, and guess what? It's too congested, and guess what? It's under.
I'm not even talking about that part. I'm talking about the lives she can serve whenever
yes.
she's on duty.
Yes, sir.
And we got all this short. They're always talking about the nurses leaving and
yeah.
they're bringing it. And this is a Bahamian nurse who know the culture, know the people, know but this so-and-so son or grandson,
mm-hmm.
this her cousin or whoever, and she go to work on them.
Yes, we are not progress.
And
know.
These fellas up here, the suspender, oh man, that's another strike against them.
Yes.
I just wanted to, I put my 5 cents on that. When I sit down and think about it,
yes,
that's how I feel.
Yeah, she's a nationalist, you know.
Yes.
She's a nationalist.
Yes, and that woman, she can't do nobody nothing.
No.
She's probably in her 60s now, but she's speaking her mind and she's entitled to that.
And she must have been keeping that in her for a long, long time. So she know right now, getting close to her pension. So she knows what she said? That's exactly what happened.
You're talking the truth.
Yes, because you heard this confidentially. When I was listening to the poison, when she gets suspended, there's confidentially. She is not supposed to speak. Or they have signed confidentially files. So when we see people dying at the hospital and things like that, we wonder why we can't get a response from the nurses.
She has seen it all.
Yes, yes, yes.
She has seen lives
yes,
lost
yes,
because
yes,
of foolishness.
Yes,
she's seen it all.
Yes. So now she is on her way out with
and
the pension.
She,
so she's
like
speaking.
Like I say, I would consider her a doctor.
Yes.
44
anyway.
Years? You know, the things you see, the people see.
Everything.
Her health,
she says
and the things she diagnosed with her eyes. You say you saw the movie with the guy who was a doctor and got accused of the wrong thing and his wife, and he was going to the hospital. He just looked at the. Jamie Lee Curtis, I think.
Yeah, yeah, you're talking about Harrison.
Right.
Harrison Ford.
And wrote the thing and say, take him there.
Fugitive. Harrison Ford.
The fugitive, right.
Harrison Ford, yes, yes.
That's experience. experience.
Yes, yes.
You don't get rid of that.
Yes. Very good movie.
Not at this day and time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my friend, I
thank
wouldn't want to take up any more of your time. I'm going to listen.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yes, he's correct, you know, and that's what we need to understand. You know, there are persons who are passionate, and I just want people to understand that these nurses and doctors, they sign contracts. So sometimes when you see things go down in a hospital where people pass away of miscare, listen to me, it's the reason why, you know, it's on the staff, and the gentleman was talking just now how this nurse who has 44 years of experience, you know, and she is be there before the doctors reach, because the doctor is be overworked, the nurses be overworked. And like I say, this is a very difficult night. To tell you the truth, we need to start talking about a children's hospital, a children's separate hospital. We need to start talking about a maternity ward section, I mean, up to that hospital, like keep that hospital up there for certain things, and let's build somewhere in Nassau, we build, I don't know, just we need a children's hospital. We need an old person's hospital to deal with old persons, and then we need nurses who experienced and qualified in that profession to deal with babies. We need them for the babies. We need those who could deal with elderly persons. I mean, we need those who could deal with the kids. And then we would have so much overworked doctors and nurses. And what we'd have people want to stay here now, because now we could increase the paychecks of these individuals now, because they'd be in charge of departments and they'd have a staff and a hospital that is not congested with so many different bosses. You know, you'd have district superintendents, you know, like how we have district superintendents of police. We do the same thing with these various different hospitals, but we need those. We're going to take this next call, then we're going to play a clip. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Hey, Scrooge, good night.
Hey, good night. Good night. Good night to you.
Scrooge, I am always elated when I hear about careers, especially where I have not just intimate knowledge, but I have an appreciation for those careers, you know, especially the careers where my parents would have served in.
Yes,
my
sir.
Mother had been a nurse prior to her passing.
Wow.
For about 44 years.
Wow. Wow.
She was assistant in the hospital. She trained many doctors and nurses, sisters in the hospital in particular. This was during the time when compassion was really the order of the day.
Yes.
It is sad to know that in this country, we, as I said this morning on Dwight Strong's show.
Yes, sir.
That the Princess Margaret Hospital, whenever you call that name back in the 70s and in particularly the 80s, the Princess Margaret Hospital represented the epitome of what a hospital is like in the Caribbean region.
Yes.
One of the best.
Yes.
You're going to find. It is sad that after a person such as myself that would have spent many hours after getting off from school, coming up to meet my mother before she knocked off, because yeah, we used to go to got dropped off to the hospital to get for her to carry us home when she got off. So we had, me and my, many of my six other siblings, but I had the opportunity to walk the wards with my mother, just to observe and see how the doctors and the nurses truly cared for the patient's welfare. And, you know, it just saddens the heart that first and foremost, the infrastructure of the Princess Margaret Hospital has been allowed to drop into the state that it's in, and it didn't happen overnight. But successive governments,
yes,
have allowed this hospital to become dilapidated in the manner that it has when it should not have happened.
Yes,
we all know and we all say that we have many government buildings in this country that the taxpayers has paid for, and the government with the responsibility to maintain these buildings have been doing a, pardon the French, piss poor job.
Yes.
Of maintaining the people's the people's first.
Yes.
Because all of these buildings came from we, the taxpayers.
Yes.
Then to move on to the salaries.
Yes.
Of a lot of these doctors and nurses, you ever considered Scrooge? You
would
go and work well. And you could be in the hospital, pick up a communicable
disease,
carry that home with you, spread that to your family. And yet the salaries that these doctors and nurses are receiving today are nothing but pennies on the dollar.
$25,000 and stuff like that.
Those doctors and nurses should have been earning at least $70,000.
$80,000,
$70,000, yes. $70,000, $80,000,
yes.
Especially
yes.
if they're specialists in their field.
Yes,
they could go on even beyond $80,000.
Yes,
but
yes.
you see, this is what I'm saying here is our people do not consider the value of our people. They will put a foreigner over the Bahamian and pay them more. Mm. And while we are doing all of the work.
Yes, sir.
We doing all of the work for the foreign doctors and everything, and they're getting less than what they're supposed to get. I'll close on this point. This is just not just the doctors, the nurses, and the Princess Margaret Hospital, but this is the way successive governments in this country have treated the Bahamian people for the professionalism and the professionals that reside in this country. It takes many of us, to leave this country, to go to other countries to be recognized for the talent, the wisdom, the knowledge that we bring to the table, and yet be paid for it.
Yes, sir.
Here in this country, if you're not part of the political clique, if you're not part of the right family, if you're putting in your resume and your resume is at market value, but the government here decides that you are how they say it?
Qualified.
Overqualified is a bunch of foolishness. Overqualification. When that came into the Bahamas, many of us shook our heads because we already saw the writing on the wall.
Yes, sir.
So Lyndon Pinling, in closing, said to his citizenry back in his early days,
yes, sir,
go and get your education. And when you receive your education, come back to the country and help me build the country.
Yes.
He didn't say help us build the country.
Yeah.
He said help me build the country. And this is why many Bahamians came back home and they helped build the country. Today, these guys bringing in all kind of cheap labor and everything. They don't respect the Bahamian professional in this place. The doctors and nurses have been complaining about the conditions in our hospital and it fall on deaf ears. The teachers are complaining about their condition and it falls on deaf ears. You know when you really get their attention?
Yes, sir.
When you go out there and demonstrate.
Yeah, like the lady.
And it's poor
for
when people have to do that in order to be recognized.
Yes, sir.
But Scrooge, listen, I could go on and on and on atrocities in this country.
Yes, sir.
These people do not care about the Bahamian people.
Yes.
They don't care.
Yes,
and that's putting it succinctly, that's putting it bluntly, and it's about time we put people in our parliament who will put the Bahamian, the inalienable, the indigenous, the organic Bahamian, put us first in this country and then let everybody else come on board after we would have been served. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much, Roy. That's a moat for, you know, he explained a lot. And, you know, it's quite true, you know. But, again, Mr. Dwayne Sands, you shouldn't be the one who's talking, you know, because, like I said, you were there, sir. You were the Free National Movement. You were a doctor. You know what I mean? I don't understand this, man. I mean, you guys really think we completely fooling, you know? I mean, you had this position. I mean, I understand you speaking on this nurse's behalf. You should just don't comment what this nurse has to say because you said with your own mouth, she is not lying. She can't be lying because she was right there at the same time she was complaining to you as well. And you ain't do what you were supposed to do. It's just like the former prime minister, Hubert Alexander Minnis. That's why I criticize him, you know. If you do good, you do good. Like I say, he's a good member of parliament of his community. He does great works for his constituency, you know. But when he was the prime minister, he didn't make no adjustments as well. And he was a doctor, you know, and he make no headway to try anyone say, let's do some things with the hospital, like make some improvement. And he put Dwayne Sands there. I thought that if you was a doctor, you had all the complaints from, you know, your staff, your friends, people who you shared the bathroom with when you're changing your clothes, persons who you associate with, eating breakfast, lunch, who you talk to on a regular basis, and you hear their complaints, and you ran into politics just to say, boy, watch this, you ain't there yet. You're saying, if I get there, you know, the Dwayne Sanders, just talk to Hubert Minnis, you know, if I get there, you telling these people, boy, if I get there, if I get the opportunity, and you know, I get to be the prime minister, I get to be the minister of health, that if I get there, I know what the hospital needs, I know what you guys need, I'm not going to turn my back on you, and all this crap, just what these people had to say. And you don't believe these people have the audacity that when they get in power, they throw all this out the way. All those people they see suffering in the hospital from the dialysis machine, all the people in the oxygen emergency, the doctors, them can't even tend with certain patients because of the oxygen emergency. So much people getting shot in the country that the doctors have to revoke themselves and they're working nonstop. The emergency room is parked. They ain't getting no beds. All these things that the former prime minister and minister of health knew. And they ain't give a damn. Oh, excuse me, forget. You understand now they have the audacity that you're out of the government now. You're in the government no more. Now you're speaking on the next government and you're saying these things that were on your watch as well. You know what it is? You all really think we stupid. You know? That's what it is. That kind of voice psychology, that can't work no more. You understand? That's what we voice psychology. You were in charge, Mr. Dwayne Sanders, and former prime minister. Now, he does good work in this community. He helped a lot of people out when he was the prime minister of the country. But yet still, they did some wrong to the country when they had the position as a doctor, when they had the position as doctors and they had to be the government. And they still didn't make the hospital a better place. That's a complete disgrace. So no one who was the former government should have the audacity to criticize this government. You understand? You should be quiet. Let someone else speak. Let the woman speak. We're going to take this last call and I'm going to play my clip. Go ahead, caller. Sorry for taking so long.
It's okay, Scrooge. You all right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Scrooge, I believe everything what you say, yeah, some people should be the last to say something. But, Scrooge, to tell you the truth, it sounds like you're getting worse.
Yes, man.
You're getting worse. So, to us, to the human people out here, we really don't care who was there before and didn't fix it. We know it needs to be fixed now.
Yes.
And we feeling it. And we ain't really worrying about the politics side of it. The lady, she did the right thing. Some people say she was being rude, doing that on social media.
What do you want to do?
Especially when you don't try everything else and speak to everybody. So, I don't think it's right for anyone or any one of us to just worry about who is the messenger, the message out and it being out. And we need to fix the problem, man. Yes. We need to fix the problem. Yes, not because we could afford to go other places or we think we might never need to go to the hospital. There's so much things need to fix, man. And people wouldn't just do the right thing and do what they're supposed to do. It's like somebody doing someone a favor. I suppose. Anyhow. Scrooge, I was wondering, like,
go ahead.
If you have any idea, if they start allowing family members or friends to carry food for poison on waiting trial or who's sentenced in Foxhill Prison, and help me to understand why that mightn't be a thing we need to go back to. Because ever since the pandemic, they start doing it that way, and I was a little concerned, wondering if for those parents or family members who ain't able to give their family money or send money up there to do it, who might have a plate of food or something. You understand what it is, and if they, you know, if they start allowing people to bring the food back up there for the prisoners?
Okay, I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm a non-paid consultant with the Ministry of National Security, which I've been for the last 20 years. I'm on board.
Not 20 years.
Yeah, man, 20 years.
Non-paid?
Non-paid. I've been working for governments non-paid, given my input on certain matters that legislation was passed. You know, non-paid.
That's tremendous. So if you was making a point, go ahead.
All right. So I work with Dr. David Allen and Kiva Bedell at the Ministry of National Security as advisors. And we talked to prison superintendent, Dawn Clare, which he is a part of the board as well. And we get information concerning the prison. He was talking about
especially
that.
Especially the food part. The food
yeah,
part.
He was talking about it. He was, excuse me. Sorry.
I was wondering if it's a money-making thing.
Yes. That's what happened.
Is this a security risk or something?
I think because people were smuggling food to the prison, but I don't think we should deprive family members.
No, everybody
no.
gets no money to send. No. One up there, they make it for a plate of food.
No, I don't think we should deprive family members of especially inmates, of having cooked food to the prison. I don't care how you say security measure or what. We can't deny them that because that's human rights, you know, their family cooking them food and sending them. We're taking the humanity out of it. And far as things are in the prison now, they're trying to turn it into private prison. So the canteen now is you have to buy food for the canteen now. How do we expect prisoners to get food?
Money
is in prison. So that's why there's a lot of legal stuff going on in the prison that we can't even understand what is really going on. You understand? Something that also needs to be looked into. We talk about the hospital. That also needs to reform as well. And yeah. Don Clare is a good superintendent at the prison. So I think he is saying they're trying to re-establish it, you know, because of the COVID-19. They're trying to re-establish it.
That's a long time. I could understand when they say they ain't get it sorted out yet and they get into it. But my goodness,
yeah.
Let us know why we can't get back to that or why we should keep going forward and find money or try somehow to help them in some kind of way, because they ain't explaining nothing, man. These people still as human beings. If we treat them like dogs, they can come out checking on like dogs and like animals with us. Scrooge, I don't know if you have anyone or had anyone in Jamaica who experienced the storm, but I'm glad to know my Bahamian people in the Bahamas government sound like we to free up on $2 million or a little more and some goods and stuff like Pampas and the fish
and
food and things to send to Jamaica.
Yes.
And I want to thank the Bahamian people and the Jamaican people who live here who doing things like that. They are brothers and sisters over here. And I ain't just saying this because they blocked the storm for us, because we blocked storm for other people and catch the brunt when it just be like 1% or something when it reaches. But because they're human beings and they are brothers and sisters, I want time to be human people for stepping up, and let's continue to see as much as we could send over there. I think the lady, the consulate, Ms. Cartwright, they were saying they must see somewhere you could bring it to that Bob Marley
resort.
Club, I think they have a blog.
Resort. Old West Beach, great, yes.
Yeah, they were saying that you either could connect with them or, so they could send it to the Jamaican government to distribute it where it's really needed at this time. So they did give out one number for the Hummingbirds Association.com. I don't know if you would like to have it.
Okay, you should go ahead.
It's 395-1921. That's 1921. I didn't get the name of the lady, but
Hummingbird?
Public relations person for the Hummingbirds Association.com. People would say, why you can't water for that? That's our brothers and sisters, and guess what? I don't even know them people that move doing it, but I'm glad to know we ain't sitting on our laws and ain't doing it. And I'm glad BPL must see them going over there or supposed to be sending some of our soldiers. When I say soldiers, our BPL men them over there.
Of course.
With the Caribbean, and the only feels it knows it. They could use every help they could get right now.
Yes.
Not later. Thank you, Scrooge.
Thank you. You talk about Jamaica, you know, I'm glad he mentioned it. You know, Jamaica has been in the Bahamas many, many years. If you look at when Sir Randolph Fox was being charged with sedition, when he was fighting for equal rights for workers, one of the representatives who came to the Bahamas was a Jamaican lawyer. And if you notice, before independence, we were a close-knit community with Jamaica, Haiti, and the Bahamas, and Trinidad and Tobago. You understand? Excuse me. Yeah. So we are all one family here. And for people who donate to Jamaica, you should, because we are all one. It could happen to us as well. It did happen to us. And they assisted when the hurricane hit. We are all one in the Caribbean. We're just putting different parts of that off the Caribbean islands. Some of us get dropped off in Jamaica, some get dropped off in the Bahamas, some get dropped off in Barbados, some get dropped off in Haiti, some get dropped off in Trinidad. And we scratch upon the Caribbean. We lost our identity after each of us gained independence. And we are brothers, sisters. Why not? Are we all here? It could happen to any one of us, any one of our countries, and they would do the same for us. You understand? And you know, it's great to see the support they're getting in Jamaica. You know, all the reggae artists, Spice and Beanie Man and Shaggy, you know, all of them are contributing. So Jamaica, you know, they had a a terrible hurricane. They lost about 30-something lives. Many of the houses destroyed, half of Jamaica destroyed. But what we are seeing now, we are seeing resilience. We are seeing now where you put the PNP and the next party. You hear Andrew Holiness. He's talking about how people, politicians try to politicize that certain people were not getting aid. And he put a stop to that. He let you know he is not interested in that. He said, why would I want to do something like that? Because you're a PNP or whatever the next political party is. There are two political parties in Jamaica. And, you know, he is, I think it's PNP. And just like how you have certain, Michael Pintard is the opposition leader, and he has his constituency in Freeport, and he is getting no assistance from the government, you know. Like, he could be saying that, you know. And the same thing with the hurricane. So they are saying that certain people, certain parts of Jamaica that, you know, were flooded, that they were not getting support because they're not a part of that political party, they're the opposition, you know. But he made it clear, that he is for all Jamaicans. Now you truly believe him, you know. You know, one day right mind would have been that cold-hearted doctor because of a political party that you're not going to send aid to Jamaican people who, and we are all one Jamaican. That's ridiculous, you know what I mean, to suggest something like that. I don't think no one over here, or the PLP and FNM, would deny access if we had a terrible hurricane to people who were not part of the government or opposition, that the government or the prime minister would not send aid to them. So I think that is ridiculous. But all in all, Jamaica's going to bounce back bigger and stronger than ever. And we all are brothers keepers. And those who can support, like Papa say, you can call us number 395-1921, Humming, the Hummingbird Association. Okay, and you can go by the Bob Marley Resort if you want to donate to Jamaica rebuilding. We can play the next clip, please. So we're not making progress the way we want to make progress. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. This is the Bushman, a.k.a. Bold and Creole, or Bush Daddy. And I am here in the Badman land, in the back of Marshall Road, or a mile from Anatole Rogers School, in the same vicinity where that 12-year-old girl who was killed or raped and killed in the area of a school being on Faith Avenue, Anatole Rogers student. You know what I find ironic? Look at this road. How many women, how many men, grown men, would walk this road without a gun? I ain't talking about a cutlass, but with a gun. Who would walk this road without a gun? The police wouldn't come in here without a gun. And this little girl used to walk this road every single for about 8 months out of the year. 8 to 9 months out of the year, a school year. She used to live right in the back there. Let me see if I get focus. Way in the back there, where you see them cedar trees? Way in the back there was where that little girl used to live by my friend who's a hog farm. I always in the back here because I have another friend who has heavy equipment in the back here, and I always come down here to do welding or mechanical work. And that little girl's walk to this road right here. You see the road? Look at the condition of the road. That's what you call proper representation. Now, this ain't about PLP and FNM. This is about lousy members of parliament who children live in sealed houses like the Bible say. And other people's children who they campaigning to living in the back of the bad man land where gangsters just travel the road in the back here. You know what people they find in the back here burn out in cars, on buses? This where they just come. This is a dumping ground or a dumping graveyard for people who they kill. And that little girl had to walk this road. You see way up there? That road turned to the left. 500 feet from here, that road turned to the left. And then another 500 feet, it turned to the right. Then another 500 feet, it turned to the left. And then it go about 1,000 feet where the little girl body was found. Then it turned to the right on to Fate Avenue. Now imagine that. That little girl used to walk way this way to all the way in the Bagdale, another half a mile by herself as a 12-year-old child. Man, a big woman, 30-something, wouldn't want to walk in the back here. I mean, her mother may have had a situation, but the people in the church who said that they used to buy the little girl clothes because the little girl used to attend their church, and none of those women in that church who knew that little girl's situation, and this is why I'm bringing awareness to it, none of those grown usher back with the collection plate over and over until they get what they want, saying the Lord said it ain't enough. And know that little girl lived in the back here and didn't tell her to wait until after school, and one of those men, escorted by a woman, brought that little girl home. I would have done it if I was aware of that. I would never let a child walk in the back here, but you had people in the church knew about it. The teachers knew about it. And you all did nothing. We as a society failed. These roads need to be, even if they don't be paved, they need to be fixed and widened. You see that? That's the valley in the shadow of death down there. When you walk through there, it's a complete darkness because the trees for about 200 feet overlapping the road. Same thing goes for this one up here. That little girl walked through here every single day for 9 months of the year. And God had protected until that time, isn't it? And the two men who heard the little girl crying in the bush, look here, you all men, you all got to be men in this country, though. We got to be men. You think I would hear a child crying in the bush, and the bushman don't go in there and wreck hovel on somebody? It can be me and them. Somebody can die.
You know, that's this clip. He is very frustrated. But I just want you all to bear in mind, progress, have we made progress? As a member of parliament, we can't dictate on who is going to get killed. Only in certain instances, you know, a bad boy, and he keep on doing foolishness. We definitely know one day we're going to hear in the news that he will be, you know, because based upon his lifestyle and the way he's living. So he is very frustrated, and he's talking about a little girl who lost her life and how she was walking on this road. And that's why we talk about how we progress. And the MP of that community, you know, they can't predict when a murder or armed robbery or something's going to happen. But we had areas and reports of incidents at this particular spot, just like the Munnings Road, when the pregnant lady lost her life. You heard the residents speak and asking the government for assistance. Put some light in there, you know, because there has been reports of people dumping bodies. This is the next incident where the young girl who lost her life, and I know the guy, Chris. Chris was passing me every day. That's how serious this is. Man, every time you hear me coming to the radio, I was talking about I know somebody, or someone's my cousin, because I'm telling you, it's the truth, Chris. The same guy who was responsible for killing the same little girl used to pass me every day in Lewis Street. Honestly. And I never knew Chris to that, because Chris is one soft guy, but life's serious. So they can't predict, but they had reports. So when you get reports, you're supposed to have a board of people in the community. And then if people were empowered, small business people or business owners, and they were working together, and these reports was coming in, they could get together themselves, you know, put up some solar lights and stuff like that, and then grab a tractor and shave the road, you know, because it's an entrance. So if you look at the roads around now, so when you see the sidewalks, you're supposed to shave on the side of the road. So you get a tractor and you go like 6 feet or 7 feet, and with the light, so that if persons who have that type of mentality, because we have them in the country, because we're breeding them in the prison, and they said that 90% of the inmates will come out. So that means if they're not properly trained, properly rehabilitated, we're going to continue to have Marco Archer, the same little girl, because we are recycling them. So we have to put in preventative measures to make sure that spots like these are protected so that people stand a chance, because you could be walking on the sidewalk and people yucking the bush, mentally ill, people who come into the prison, who have served 15, 20 years in prison, who are not rehabilitated. That's why we can continue to have incidents like Marco Archer, because prison breeds those type of individuals. okay? And they come back on the streets, and then they go in these areas that are not lighted, you know? Like I said, we can't predict, but we could prevent. So when we have reports like this in Manning's Road, and I had this young gentleman reporting this, this could be reported to the MP, and the small business people in the area, or someone who has some type of money who has been successful in the community heard about this, and they could do it out of their pocket. That's why we have the power behemoths. So that sometimes you don't need to wait on government. I don't wait on government. I'm working in my community right now. I've been working in my community over 30 years. Over 30 years, during different ventures. And I've been working for the Bahamas itself, non-paid, giving them ideas and solutions that is being passed in legislation and also the parliament that today is making things happen for the Bahamian people. Okay? So I've been working. All right? So, like I said, the road could be shaved. Solar lights could be put up in that particular area. And like areas like the Manning Road, and et cetera, they can also be directed by the community. Business people in the area get together. That's why it's good to have community meetings. And then if that was a problem, you know, you guys could get together and then go to the ministry work. And if you use your connection, there's someone who you all know who probably could come and even assist you guys. So that's why we have the empowered behemoths. That's why the small business with Mark Turncross is very important. Empowering behemoths so that we can empower ourselves and do some things for our community. We don't need to wait around to put them lights up or to get a tractor to clean on the side of the road. The hurricane proved that in Jamaica. All of them working together now. The gunmen working together in Jamaica. Everyone working together because you know who got the power? God get the power. You know, you couldn't shoot no gun in the hurricane. You couldn't kill nobody in the hurricane. You know what everyone became in Jamaica? Everyone became scared for their life. The baddest man in Jamaica was probably had his head between his leg. All right? That's the power of God. And you see what happened? He brought all those people together in Jamaica now. And Jamaica's going to be rebuilt. And everyone who I listen to talk about God, talk about, we got to stop doing opium. We got to awaken one another, you know? Huh? You see, only in time of tragedy. Remember they offshore 1,000 murders, but that day, when the hurricane come, huh? Everyone, all know God and Jesus, huh? Who is the most powerful? Yahshua and Yahweh, huh? And he showed you something. And look how many people, there was about 30-something people lost their lives. But look at the Philippines, 150 more missing and many more missing in the Philippines. So we have to work closer together in this country and show a lot of love. And let's stop this black crowd syndrome, victimizing this nurse who speak truth. And then we get people like Dwayne Sands trying to manipulate the Bahamian people to vote for the party. I know, yes, been some other way. You know, definitely might be successful in becoming the government. Michael Pindot is a good MP, you know. But it ain't about just being good. It's about being with integrity and honesty. And when we see persons like Dwayne Sands, who I'm only knocking on at this particular incident I'm talking about, he was the minister. He has no right to come on national TV and speak nothing but the hospital when he himself was there and he didn't do crap. I mean, he did some things. But he still, as the minister, and his government was in power, didn't do squat crap. They wouldn't better the conditions at the hospital, knowing you was a doctor, knowing that you talked to the nurses and doctors and orderlies and all the persons there about the condition, and you still turn your back on a lot of people. So he thinks it gives you the right to try and manipulate me and the rest of the Bahamian people when we have people in the hospital right now who are nurses speaking on, and we have people who has no bed, the hospital is leaking, and we need new hospitals, and we need nurses, we need doctors, and you have the heart to try to take picky points. I understand the desire to win the government, but that way of thinking is out the book in the country. You got to be a member of parliament who is going to serve your community. Look for the problems in your community and fix it, like in Pinewood Garden. Now all of a sudden, they have this plan for Pinewood Garden. You had a resident say they tired. They lose all kind of furniture and stuff like that. Fridge. People are sleeping in water. And now the government is saying that they have a plan to build a drainage system. I think it costs about $10 or $15 million. These things are supposed to happen a long time. And like I said, there are some MPs who have been doing some great work. And one of them I respect is Peter Glover Roll. She has been doing some extremely great work from she came in power, so she's not doing it just because it's election. She has won. Also, Gladys Anna Martin, Leslie Miller, daughter, yes, I think Price. She has been working before the general election. She was cleaning up before the general election, and she still is cleaning up. You know, so I got to give credit to them as well. Like I said, Michael Pintard is also a good MP in Freeport. And we need more. We need more. We need to be more creative. And again, we want persons like Sabas, you know, who is going to spend some of his own personal money to help the residents in this community to empower themselves. You know what empowerment yourself means? Like I said, I was complaining about the condition of the young girl who lost her life, that there was no lighting and the road need to get paved. That's empowerment. If Sabas can create some small business owners in that community and the problems they have in that community might not even reach him. But for now, he could help with fixing some of the problems. But as the community gets stronger, you know, instead of me going to Sabas, you say, hey, look here, we have a rat problem right around the corner. I could deal with that myself because I have business, right? I have a business. I have some income. I could do that. Or I could get together with two or three of the business owners and say, look here, we have a problem right now with some abandoned cars. Let's get together and let's move. Let's put the grill out. Let's get some of the young guys, give them a little something. Let's have a fun day and community day. And we're going to do that. You know, that's empowerment. Only we can change our community with the assistance we get from the MPs, eh, and business people in our community. All right? I just want you guys to know that. And I'm going to end on this. Again, to the Royal Barbers and Police Force. Ms. Knowles, you get your hands full. We have a lot of rogue cops. I heard the Minister of National Security respond to the officer who was doing his job even though he's off duty. When I look at the footage, and like I said, he graced a suspect. The same suspect, according to the report, stabbed three individuals. One died, and he was arguing with the police officer. And the police officer, you know, was talking to this young gentleman. There was a hassle. And in the hassle, you know, the gun went off and the young guy was shot in his head. He dropped on the ground in between unconscious or what. But it seems like the bullet entered to his skull and he was on the ground. But later on, they found out that one of the persons who was involved in the violent incident passed away. So now he is going to get charged with murder, attempted murder. I don't know what is going to happen to the police because when you look at it, he could have done things a little differently. Even though his adrenaline was going, it was a stabbing incident, so he must precious seconds. You know, the police officer has a life and death innocent. He has to survey the situation. He could also be in drunk. Him and all the saying again, when we see these things, rum always plays an important role in the offenses, in these murder incidents. All by fish fry. Those two incidents, two of my cousins, right? Hey, it was all about the rum. The rum makes you make wrong decision. So in a split second, that officer, that guy who was doing the stabbing, you know, he stopped. The officer tried to apprehend him. He was intoxicated. Officer could have been intoxicated as well. We're not going to talk about this part, but they could have been talking. They had to a bar. So they've been drinking. Can't say you've been drinking. And when you're drinking, you're tipsy. And there was a fight. And everyone, adrenaline going. And the officer in that split second, he seems like he was over-aggressive. But he could have been right because someone got stopped. Three individuals got stopped. So he has the right. But he still should be penalized. You know, because history and the needs, he could have hold his gun on an individual because, you know, he's too close. He didn't need to go up on the guy. He could have stand about 2 feet to go, pull a service revolver, tell him don't move. If there's someone there, an ex-officer, he could tell him if he move, you know, go on the ground, handcuff him. He didn't need to go too close to the individual because if you're too close, you know, and you get a gun, automatically you're in my face, even though you're the police or not. My blood is running. My response is, if you put the gun in my face, I'm going to try to take it. That's just a human response, people, if you're that close. All right? Yeah, I, You know, the police could have been right, but he is a little wrong, as well as the guy who did the stopping. Now he's going to get charged with murder, but I'm saying on that. So things like that, you know, is very, very, very tricky. Okay, we're completely out of time. I'm your host, Valentino Brown. It is a pleasure to be your host on this wonderful Friday. I'll see you next week, Friday, if God spare life. I hope you enjoyed the show. And like I said, the show is for the people. We talk about the solutions. We talk about the problems. We find the solutions. And we continue to have the general public engage in the conversation. And they do a wonderful job. Okay? But today's show, how we progress? I don't think so. Based on the hospital performance, based on the prison performance, you know, we have a long, long way to go. Okay? So I'm your host, Valentino Brown, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City of Mayors every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. I'll see you next week at God Spare Life. And y'all, please avoid altercation. All of these sins, all of these murder sins, start from argument. Start from argument. So please listen to me. Argument is what costs people life today. Learn of these incidents and learn how to restrain yourself, you know. Walk away from arguments because you could save your own life, okay? You get mad, you can make mistakes. You understand? That young gentleman who did the stabbing by the club, he is going to spend the rest of his life in jail. You understand? Even though he killed somebody. You understand? So he killed somebody in a minute, and the next minute, he in Central Police Station right now as we speak, getting a bill of voluntary indictment, and he'd be going to Supreme Court, and he'd be finished. And then the next 10, 15 years, he'd be a sissy, because now he have no more freedom. Eh? Now he become a part of the prison system. Okay? If that's the way you guys want to live, then go ahead. So I'll see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9. Bless up, Elroy.
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke, Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.